Many of you know that I am a pediatric emergency room doctor. I have worked at County Hospital in that capacity for 24 years. County Hospital is a level 1 trauma center and a tertiary care center for children. This means that the worst traumas and the sickest children come to us. From medical school through residency and during my 24 years of practice, I have seen some of the most gruesome things you can imagine. There is almost nothing about human medical problems or injuries that bothers me to see, to read about, to think about, or to talk about. I'm not trying to brag. It's actually sort of weird that I'm this way, but it's just the way God has made me to do the job that I do. And you may have noticed also that I have no problem talking in front of large groups. But as I studied the medical details of Jesus' crucifixion in preparation to speak to you today, it bothered me in a way that I have never felt before. I wasn't grossed out, I didn't feel sick to my stomach, and sadness doesn't even begin to describe what I felt. It was just so awful in a heavy way that it made me not want to talk about it. It was weighty in a way that I have been unable to find words to explain. And truthfully, I hoped that Marcia would forget she had asked me to talk. But she didn't. And with that in mind, I want to share with you what Jesus physically endured during the last day of his life from a medical perspective. A coroner's report would likely list the cause of Jesus' death as multifactorial and related primarily to hypovolemic shock, exhaustion, asphyxia, and acute heart failure. To understand the many factors that contributed to Jesus' death, we must start the night before. Jesus had dinner with the disciples in the upper room, then they went to Gethsemane. Luke 22:44 tells us that while there, Jesus was in such anguish and praying so earnestly that his sweat fell like drops of blood. This is a condition known as hematidrosis, where the capillaries or smallest blood vessels in the sweat glands rupture from intense stress and the blood becomes mixed with sweat. So Jesus' blood loss began. Jesus was then arrested. During his multiple trials, he was repeatedly slapped and beaten in the face by the soldiers and made to walk an estimated 2.5 miles between the different locations. The trials and all this walking took place overnight and lasted about 12 hours. At this point, he was already likely exhausted, becoming dehydrated, and suffering from some degree of traumatic brain injury. This all left him in a pre-shock state. Next, Jesus was flogged, which deeply lacerated the skin, arteries, veins, and muscles of his back, causing much greater blood loss. At this point, his heart rate and respiratory rate were increasing due to dehydration, blood loss, and acidosis, not to mention the immense pain. The soldiers then drove the crown of thorns into his scalp. The thorns are thought to be 1 to 2 inches long and were driven in over and over as the soldiers struck him repeatedly on the head. This caused further blood loss, as the scalp is one of the most vascular areas of the body, and the beating worsened his brain trauma. Jesus then walked the Via Dolorosa, estimated to be 650 yards or more than 6 football fields long, while carrying the crossbar or patibulum, which likely weighed 80 to 110 pounds. At Golgotha, the patibulum was put on the ground with Jesus lying on it, and 7-inch long, 3-inch wide nails were driven between the bones of the forearm, here and here, likely going through the median nerve, causing shock-like excruciating pain in his hands. The patibulum was then put on the 7-foot vertical beam called the stipes, where there was a small seat or sedulum about halfway up. Then Jesus' feet were laid one on top of the other and nailed to the stipes with his knees flexed and rotated out like this. As the patibulum was put on the stipes, the weight of Jesus' body hanging from the wrists caused dislocations of his wrists and shoulders. And in this position, with his arms up and out, his rib cage was forced into the position of end inspiration, or the end of breathing in, making it nearly impossible to exhale. Due to the dislocations, lack of oxygen, acidosis, and fixed position of his body, the muscles of Jesus' upper body underwent severe cramps and spasmodic contractions. This made breathing even more difficult. As dyspnea, or air hunger, and the pain in his arms, wrists, and chest increased, Jesus was forced to raise his body off the sedulum to exhale. But this transferred all his weight to his feet at the point where the nail was driven in. This made breathing easier, but eventually the pain in his feet and cramps in his legs made this position unbearable, and he would slump down onto the sedulum again. This up and down movement, alternating between being unable to breathe and being in immense pain in the lower body, was repeated over and over and over again in the ensuing hours that he hung there. All the while, the lacerated skin and muscles on Jesus' back were rubbing over the wood of the stipes, causing more pain and further blood loss. During all of this, Jesus' heart would be beating harder and faster to try to deliver oxygen and remove carbon dioxide from his tissues. But in the setting of hypovolemia, which is a decreased volume of circulating blood in the body, and acidosis caused by increased carbon dioxide, his heart would eventually not be able to keep up. He was in shock. As Jesus' heart began to fail, fluid built up in his lungs, called pleural fluid, making breathing and oxygen and carbon dioxide exchange that much harder. As he was unable to rid his body of the increase in carbon dioxide, levels in his body continued to rise, causing worsening acidosis and brain swelling. Due to heart failure, hypovolemic shock, spasms of most of the major muscles in his body, brain trauma and swelling, and ongoing blood loss, Jesus became so weak that he could no longer lift himself off the sedulum to allow himself to breathe. And the final factor in his death, asphyxia, was imminent. He was suffocating to death. Normally during crucifixion, death was hastened by breaking the person's legs so they could no longer rise to breathe and would suffocate more rapidly. But when the Roman soldiers came to break Jesus' legs, he was already dead, which fulfilled scripture. The soldiers were required, however, to confirm death by driving a spear into the right side of the person's heart. When they did this to Jesus, according to John 19:34, it brought a sudden flow of blood and water. This was likely the pleural fluid from his lungs, which would be clear like water, and the blood from his right atrium, the upper heart chamber, or ventricle, the lower, larger heart chamber. All of this was the physical cost to Jesus to lay down his life for us, because God so loved the world.